Morning. I bring you greetings from Kenya, especially Echoes of Money, the ministry I serve with. Also greetings from my family, Emily. I just talked with her this morning, and she told me to pass her warm greetings. And so I'm very happy to see you once again. I have a video that I would like to show before we get the word. So, you're here to get to know a ministry that is really touching many lives from a humble background in 2010. And today the impact is very big. You know, we have over 350 children at Echoes of Mercy Christian School, over 200 members in our church. We have college that trains teachers, and also we have a theological training college, a medical facility, a source of water, and many other things. Our goal is to impact lives and empower those who are going through challenges where people are very poor, a place where there were no professionals, people who could come out and defend the community. As I was growing up as a little child, every day I had to face the reality of being without my mom and the poverty. And so after my schooling, I felt a burden to come and start Echoes of Mercy mission, which was an inspiration from a song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And with those words, God touched my heart, connected my heart with my village to come and impact and change lives for God's glory. We started with a church, a Christian school. Now we have a medical facility. We are training pastors. We are dealing with health matters. We are dealing with widows, where we work with over 100 plus widows that are part of our program.
The widows' living conditions are very poor. You find that they live in very bad houses, especially during the rainy season, they suffer a lot.
We work with orphans, you know, that we are supporting. So there is a lot going on. But the main goal is to preach the gospel, to bring the good news to these people who have been lost, who are suffering, who are going through pain in their lives, to give them the gospel. And we are seeing transformation in the lives of many people. Their lives are being transforming into the light of the gospel. And people are being evangelized, people are being discipled. One of my biggest thing is I'm a man of faith. And I don't go around begging for the resources. I pray, I ask God, and sometimes we don't have anything, you know. And you know, my staff are asking me, Pastor Moses, how are we going to do it? And I tell them, do you believe God? You know, He's going to do it for us. And so many cases, we just trust God and we go by faith, and God provides through our friends. My goal is to make sure that we raise leaders, we raise people who are going to influence our society and also impact the whole world. I think we are achieving that. Our school, you can see the great work that is going on. The next vision is to start building boarding facility, because most of the kids come from far distances, and they go through a lot of challenges. Some kids who are vulnerable, they're going through a lot of pain. We have been praying for the orphanage facility where orphans can stay and get services. We hope, you know, as time continues, you know, God's time is the best and God will provide. We have pastors that we have trained here that are out there planting churches, and I have a staff that are growing spiritually. People are serving God, people are dedicated in the school, in the ministry, in the board, and we are a ministry that is very honest. Our funds goes to the work, our resources goes to the work.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Thank you so much. It's just a big honor to be here this morning and to share God's word with the believers. What we do in Kenya is hard, it's difficult, but we enjoy because God has called us into it and we cannot run away from it. We have over 400 kids. I was told that with the principal when I left Kenya, over 400 children in our school. And out of those 400 children, only about 20 are sponsored. And so while here, we are trying to get some children sponsored. I have one of them here. It is $35 a month. And at the table out there, we have about 30 more. Emily also gave me her sponsorship profile, and we have some at the table. And with me is my elder daughter, Melanie. Doctor. She told me that I would like to be a doctor, and she's working very hard. And her other sisters' profiles are outside there too. So during, after the service, you can pass by the table and see what is there. We have widows' profiles and pastors' profiles as well. This morning, I wanted us to look at generosity towards God's mission. What is God telling us about his mission through being generous? When our greatest joy is in loving God by laying aside the weight of self-preoccupation, by denying ourselves, looking onto Jesus, who is our life, and giving life to others by serving them, then we will begin living life abundantly. Now, every time I've come to Liberty, I see the mission. And the mission of this church is to make disciples of all people, of all nations. And that is in Matthew 28, chapter 19, verse 20. And there are three ways on which this church fulfills that. And one way is to encounter God through worship and also to grow in truth and to have Bible study, but also to reach people through service and witness. And Jesus teaches so much about being generous to others. In the Bible, you see Jesus was very generous. Now, apart from that, Jesus gave his life for us. He died for all of us. Everybody in the world, Jesus died for our sins. And he teaches so much about being generous to others. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 21, the Bible says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart also will be." In Kenya, if you have a company or you have a business, You find those people, they always think about their money and their deals and everything, how they want to make more profit. Now, Jesus tells us in the Bible that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Treasure decision precedes the heart's location and devotion. And why and where? There is a man called David Carroll said this: I wish to give while my hands are warm. I wish to give while my hands are warm. You know, I preached this sermon in our church. And in our church in Kenya, people did not want to give. Believers did not want to give. They could not give on a Sunday offering. And they came to church and they believed they were poor. They did not have anything. And so every Sunday we had $2 or $3. And when I preached this sermon, a lot of people came forward and they were praying and they asked God to help them to give towards his mission. And this is a church in the village. And in about 4 months, they have given over $2,000 today, in about 4 months. They offered to serve God with whatever little God has given them. And David says here, I wish to give while my hands are warm. Otis Scrugg says, I've never missed anything I've given away. And Adrian Rogers said this, I wish to be giving while I am living, so I will be knowing where it is going. And so the question I want to ask us this morning, am I outward focused and inward focused as a believer? Or am I only outward focused? How is God using you to impact the world? How is God using you to impact the community and your church and everybody in your church? God has used GRASP to impact Africa, to impact Peru, to impact Ukraine, and to impact America. God has used this church to impact all over the world. You've been part of that. But are you passionate about what God is doing to change the world? Or are you getting cold? Are you getting more warm towards the mission of God's word? And so, faithful with what you have precedes generosity with what you will have. In the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 10, the Bible says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. And so it has been said that greed is a heart disease. And of course we have greedy people, right, around us. But greed is a heart disease. But generosity is a heart transformation. When we are generous, it shows that we are growing in Christ. It shows that we are transformed. And as Christians, there is no option, but we have to be generous. Generous with what God has entrusted to us. Generous with serving people and helping people and loving people. Because we own nothing. Everything that we own belongs to God. We don't own anything. You know, this morning I saw people driving cars, and you don't own that. It belongs to God. God has entrusted that to you, and he's made you to be a steward of that. And so, in the book of Psalms 49, verse 16 to 18, the Bible says, do not be afraid when one becomes rich. When the glory of his house is increased, for when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lives, he blesses himself. For men will praise you when you do well for yourself. But what does it benefit for you to be praised? Because of your wealth, because of your riches, because of what you have. What does it benefit? What does it benefit? But in the same book of Psalms 49:15, the Bible says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. For he shall receive me. God will redeem my soul. We serve a faithful God. God is our redeemer. He will redeem my soul. The state of your soul depends on what occupies your mind. The state of your soul depends on what occupies your mind. If yourself is occupying your mind, forget peace and contentment. A lot of people are ever worried about themselves. We are ever worried all the times. It is all about us. But if that is the case in your life, forget peace and contentment. You don't find those in a vacuum of needs and sinful cravings. And forget loving others. If everything is only about us, there is no way we can love others. And there is no way we can be in the mission of God. And so a self-centered soul might like the idea of being viewed by others as loving, but ends up finding others' obstacle that plugs up into craving vacuum. So there's so many believers today that are so self-centered. It is all about ourselves. We find people to blame. We find people to accuse. But what did Jesus do? He loved us in our state. Jesus loved us the way we are. And as a church, we have to love the way we are. Because we have been redeemed and we have been called into the mission. And as I look at the vision of this church and the mission of this church, that is the DNA. And that is what should compel the church to be used. That is what should drive every member, every believer, to be involved in the mission of God's work. In Psalms 107, verse 9, the Bible says, for he satisfies the longing soul. God satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. So there is nothing else that can satisfy our longing soul. Our wealth cannot satisfy our soul. Our children cannot satisfy our soul. But God will satisfy our souls. The Bible says he fills the hungry soul with goodness. And then in the book of Timothy 6:17, 1 Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. You know, in Kenya, I've seen so many people who are rich, and they have a lot of wealth, and they have money, and they have a good time. But all of a sudden, all that goes away. And they find Christ, and they want to live for God, and they regret. It's just like Solomon wants us in the book of Ecclesiastes. It is all in vain. Without God, it is all in vain. It is all in vain. And so, a self-centered person really is self-centeredness is a sin that clings so closely. It clings so closely to our hearts. It is hard to lay it aside. Therefore, it makes it difficult to embrace the Lord and his mission because we are looking at ourselves. We aren't looking at Jesus. When we are self-centered, it is all about us. I can't do that. It is, you always think about yourself first, and you forget about what Christ, what God has for you, how God wants to use you to change the world. We need to look at our role as an individual, as a family in mission. You see, Echoes of Mercy, I have five families that have supported the work in Kenya. And they say, this is what God has called us to do. God is calling you to do something to change the world. God is calling you to use you to impact the world for Christ. Are you going to be obedient, or are you going to complain that I don't have time, I don't have all this? God has given us all time. Today, there was a time change in America, and it's only 1 hour time change, and still people are complaining for that time change. And still people can't come to church because their program is disorganized. You know? And God has given us all the time. We have it. And it is a lot of time. We can't use it all effectively. But one day, God will ask, how did you use the time I gave you? How did you use it to change the world? How did you use it to impact the world? Remember, the very essence of being on mission with the Lord is loving and worshiping God while loving and serving others. When we are in mission with God, we love other people. Other people's burdens becomes our burdens. Other people's pain becomes our pain. The children's suffering, we become part of that because we are in his mission, because he has called us to change the world. The church is not just a good place for us to come and enjoy worship and enjoy good preaching. After we are evangelized, after we are discipled, we are supposed to go and change the world and tell other people about the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We had a church in our village where the pastor, the church, they had chased all people. There was only about 10 people. So I went there and I was weeping and I did not know what to do. And I started praying and I challenged the people. I said, we need to invite people into the church. We need to invite our friends, the people we do business with, the people we work with, those we fellowship with, those we call every Sunday. We need to invite somebody so that they can hear the good news that we are enjoying. And today, from about 20 people, we have over 300 people. They became inviters. They started to share the good news. They started to share the gospel. The old, bringing young people, mentoring young people, and the church filled up, and there is growth. God wants to use us to change the world. God wants to use you. I want my time to count. There is a time that I'm given. You want your time to count before God. I want my God-given gifts to be used. All of us, once we surrender our life to Jesus, there is a special gift that you have that God wants to use. What it is that you have, the gift that God has given you, that you are not using and you should use to help in the work of the church. There is a gift, but a lot of us sit on that gift. Here is a little boy growing up in a poor village in Africa. My mom was not there. I was left at age 2 years, and today I'm changing the world. Children's lives are being touched. People look at me today and they say, is this Moses that was really that poor? How could he be? What has happened in his life? And today you see children, and when I see those children, when I go at Echoes and they are running, I feel so much joy because I never had education like that. We sat on stones. We sat on darts. We were beaten by teachers, but they get the best of the best education in Kenyan standards. And they preach the gospel and they sing. You know, when they sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, I feel a lot of joy. And every teacher who has ever come to Echoes of Mercy to teach, whether they were non-believers, God has changed them, and now they are either deacons and they are either serving in different ministries in our church. That's what God wants us to do with the time that he's given us. Preach. Preach wherever you are. You don't have to preach only in the church. Preach at your workplace. Preach at your home. Preach everywhere. Be an ambassador of Christ. Take the gospel out. The time is not there. We need to redeem time, church. We need to redeem time. There is no time. Preach to your children. Preach to your grandchildren. Preach to every relative. Let them know the gospel, because that is the only hope that we have. It is the only hope that will change the world, the only hope that will change our community, the only hope that will change America. We need to preach the gospel. There is no any other hope but the word of God that changes people. He changed me. He transformed my life. The reason I know God changed me is because he's using me to change other people and to impact the lives of other people. Preach, teach, serve, encourage, listen. When I come this morning, I found people serving. Those who are opening doors, greeting, welcoming, making coffee, and everybody was busy greeting and loving on each other. That's the church. It is a family that is so special, the family of God. There is no family on earth that can be compared with the body of Christ, the church. This family is a special family. It is so special that if you are connected to that body, you need to be really, really connected and be involved. Amen? You need to be really connected and be involved. And then God will start using you, and God will start changing you and caring for you and healing you and touching your life, because you are surrendered and you are doing what God loves. There is no way you're going to be sick. God is going to protect you. You know, we have Emily. She works in the slums in Nairobi with those girls, and she has little money to support that work. And so many times she doesn't have money at all to do anything in Kiambu slums, and she has to pay those girls school fee, she has to feed them, she has to buy, you know, stuff, clothes for them. But she just works. So recently I asked her, Emily, how are you going to pay for their school fee? Yet our daughter's school fee has not been paid. And she told me, honey, I'm just going to pay. And I said, how? All right, let's pay. And when we did, God provided for our children. God provided for our children a life of faith, a life of faith, a life of honesty, a life of giving it to God without fear. Without fear. We serve widows who are heartbroken, widows who are dying, widows who they're suffering from HIV/AIDS and they're going through a lot of pain. And you look at them when we give them food. When Pastor Randy was in Kenya, we were giving widows food, and Pastor Randy got touched and he said, Moses, I love this ministry. I love this widow's work. I was passing food to them. He said, Pastor Moses, this is so special to my heart.
And in the Bible says, pure religion is reaching widows and orphans in their distress. There are widows around here. There are widows in America. It is not only in Kenya. Anywhere in America, there are people like that that needs our love. They need our care. They need our protection. They need our service. What are you doing to reach them? What are you doing to impact them? Charles Stanley said this: what you offer to God won't ever equal what you receive from Him. What you offer to God will not equal what you receive from Him. And a word of wisdom from Solomon, he says in the book of Ecclesiastes, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. That is in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10 to 12. They increase who eat them. So what profit have the owner except to see them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. And verse 20 says this: as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. God keeps him busy because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. That is verse 20. And so, can we change? Is there a way we can change from where we are and your position right now? Can you change? Is there a way you can change and avail yourself for God to use you? Is there a part that you are not doing? Is there something that you are not doing the right way in honor of God's mission, in honor of God's work? Jesus says in Matthew, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. God can break us from our pride. God can change us from our rudeness. God can change us from all forms of evil in our life. And he can break us and draw us to him so that he can use us for his glory. There is nothing that is impossible with God. How do you lay aside the old self with its indulgence, self-preoccupation for the love of Jesus and others? We have to love others, church. The gospel is just simple. Love others. Love God. It is not complicated. We complicate the word of God, but it is not complicated. It is so simple. And we have to walk in the will of God. We have to obey God. We are to make his name famous, famous everywhere. We are not supposed to make our name famous. Let him increase as I decrease. We are to make the name of God famous in our community, wherever we are, everywhere. His name should be famous, not ours. His glory, his character, and his name. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 24 to 25, then Jesus said to his disciple, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If you lose your life for Christ's sake, you will find it. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off yourself. We live in a time where there are so many crises, and people are worried about their security. How am I going to be? What is going to happen to me? There is hope in Christ. Christ has said, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. You are my child. Then why should we worry? Can worry add anything in our lives? There is no way worry can add anything in our lives. We need to give it all to God. Look to Jesus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the author of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despite seeing the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so in the book of Psalms 63, verse 1 to 3, this is what the Bible says. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. We can say those words like David. Early in the morning will I seek you. I looked for you in the sanctuary, and I find you. We are here today not because it is a tradition to come to church. We are here because God has invited us this morning, and he has brought us here to celebrate his goodness, to celebrate his love, to celebrate his protection and power and forgiveness of sin. God has forgiven us sin, and he can forgive your sin today. He can change your life, and you can be redeemed. The Bible says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, but seek first the kingdom of God. So if there is anything to seek, number one, the first thing that I should seek is the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. All things shall be added to you. Not just a little bit, all things. When we know Christ, we have joy. The fullness of joy. There is fullness of joy that comes with knowing Christ. I've lived a life that is hard, that is lacking. We've lived a life that has no money. We don't know what we are going to eat. And I never worry any bit, because I know my God is able. And he provides. And he cares for me. But I've never treated the things that God has provided for me as a little God, because those things have no power over my life. They can't control me. They can't save me. They can't change my life. God has given me to use them, but if they are not there, it's okay. Several months ago, my car broke down. I don't care about it. I just say, okay, it's broken down, took it to the garage. It is still in the garage. I'm not worried about it. We were with Pastor Randy. I'm not worried about it. And I took it to the Toyota people, and they're having several months with it. And I'm like, what is wrong with them? And so I use whatever is available to do God's work, because we have to redeem time. We have to give all our all to God. You know, there is a song that we are going to sing, I Surrender All to Jesus. But sometimes we sing that song, but we don't surrender all to Jesus. We just sing it because it is a song. But sometimes you have to do introspection when you sing a song. Do you really believe what that song is saying? Are we surrendering all to Jesus? The Bible says we need to carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Each other's burdens. If one is sick, one is hurting there, the church, we should come together and carry each other's burden. Because when we do, you will fulfill the law of Christ. You will fulfill the law of Christ. I desire to have an active faith driven by the love of God than produce compassion by serving others in my heart and my life. I desire to do that. I want to serve God. Loving others leads us to give to others. When we love people, when I came here this morning, I was so much happy. Say, oh, Moses, we heard about your son. John Mark, you know, it's just like, oh, I'm coming home. This is home. Everybody already knows John Mark was born in Kenya. I don't know who told you. And it gives me joy that you are praying for me. You're praying for me when I'm there driving. I'm there facing a challenge in Africa. I'm your missionary and you're praying for me. And you send Skip and you send Pastor Randy and they come and they encourage me. And you need to come too. You also need to come and encourage us. That is the family of God. That is the family of Christ. Loving others leads us to give to others. I just want to finish. But generosity is preceded by relationships. Relationship with the Lord, with the family, with our friends. And God calls us to reach the nations. Never pity missionaries. Envy them. Envy missionaries. Never pity us. Never worry about, oh, Moses is suffering or he's going mad. Envy missionaries. They are where the real action is, where life and death, sin and grace, heaven and hell converge. Robert C. Shannon said those words in the book of Luke 9, and I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. This is the point. Believers are to use their master's money. We are stewards in a way that will accrue fruits of eternity. By investing in the kingdom gospel that brings sinners to salvation, so that when they arrive in heaven, an everlasting home, those sinners will be there to welcome them. Recently, Billy Graham died in America. The whole world was watching. The whole world. And I ask myself a question. When I die, will it lead people to talk about Christ? Will my death cause people to talk about Christ? When Billy Graham died, the whole world was talking about Christ. When I die, will it lead people to talk about God? Talk about Christ. For those who love money, the Bible says this, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is all vanity. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. But this is a special note. Psalms 135, 13 and 18. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. The name of our God endures forever.
Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations, for the Lord will judge his people, and he will have compassion on his servant. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them. So is anyone who trusts in the things of the world. Is anyone who trusts in them. We can't put ourselves, our lives, we can't put our trust on what we have. We have to put our trust on Christ. There are things that God has done at Echoes of Mercy that I look at, and people say, Pastor Moses, you have a lot of money. I don't have. It's just God who provided. And we used it for whatever he provided for. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Do not set your heart on them. I want to leave you with an encouragement that as a church, continue doing what you're doing. Continue loving the mission work. Continue supporting, because your account in heaven is being accrued. Your account in heaven, whether it is locally, whether it is abroad, wherever God puts your heart, nobody is forcing you to support Moses. No. God knows my fate. God knows me. God has called me. But God wants you to be involved. Wherever he wants you to be involved, be involved. Be involved. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, God, for who you are and how you've used the simple things of this world. You've used things that have no name, things that are not respected, Lord, so that your name can be glorified. Father, I thank you for using me to be a blessing, using me to impact the world, and using everybody in this church to be a part of what you're doing in the world. Father, I pray the Lord, if there is anybody here who is struggling with anything in his life, there is hope in Christ, and today you can give them hope. I pray that you can give forgiveness to any sin that is hidden that needs to be confessed. At this particular time, God, I pray that, Lord, you will soften hearts and draw people into the cross. The cross, the cross, the blood-stained cross. The cross of Christ I see, where my Savior died. He died for my sins to save me. And Lord, just as we are, may you draw us at your feet. May you, Lord, bring us. May you heal our bodies. May you, Lord, draw your people. We thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the preaching ministry at Liberty Baptist Church. We trust the Lord will show his mercy and grace to you. At Liberty, we believe everyone counts. Our motto is one church, all people. If there is a need in your life that we can meet, please contact us soon. Perhaps you need prayer for a personal matter. We'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe you need spiritual counsel. We have trained staff to help you. Perhaps you're looking for a friendly church that bases its teaching and practice on the Bible. Then consider us your home church. You can contact us by phone at 770-461-5644. You may wish to learn more about the ministry of Liberty Baptist Church from our website. It is www.lbcfayette.org. May God greatly bless you, and thanks again for your interest in the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ.